let's get out to the Home Run Inn hotline. Try a Home Run Inn pizza on the grill at your next cookout. Visit HRIGrilling.com for instructions. And there we find Matt Bowen, he of the Chicago Tribune and the National Football Post, NFPost.com. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
You know, I got to tell you, I'm still totally bummed about Junior Seau. I was saying to Brian this morning, you know, I watched that guy's whole career. You know, just the timing of his career was such that for the majority of it, I was covering the league and had a chance to see his entire career. And, damn, that's a sad story. I mean, it's just a sad story, and it's hard to get away from it.
No, it is. You know, I thought about it a lot yesterday. Talked to a lot of former guys I played with in the NFL, too. I think everyone was in shock just because of the situation. And you know, there's a lot of speculation now. I'm not going to speculate on why it happened. But, you know, the part of it, you know, guys, when you get out of the NFL, the transition out of this game can be tough for a lot of people. It can be really tough. And, you know, if this was a case of depression or something like that, you know, this is a story that has been played out a couple of times, more often than it needs to be.
20 years playing in the league. You know, Matt, you played a six-year career. Is that what you had? And I'm sure you miss it every Sunday. I can't imagine for a guy like Junior Seau who you know, I mean, 20 years. Can you believe that? Whatever, 19. I mean, it's unfathomable to last that long, your body taking that kind of abuse and you know, the what you must go through to play that late in your life. And then – you know, again, how do you transition away from that? How do you get to a point where you're not feeling this terrible, you know, anticlimax in your life, where everything that you had kind of geared for? Now, you've done a very good job of transitioning into a respected media member, but it's a difficult thing for a lot of guys, and I'm sure it wasn't easy for you.
No, it was hard for me. I still think about it. You know, it's not that I miss the game as much, you know, in between the lines. You know, I miss the locker room. You know, you miss the guys. And a lot of players, they miss the structure of it, Mike, because it is such a structured lifestyle. You know exactly where you're supposed to be at every minute of the day during the season. In the off season, you have your training. You know when you come back. You develop this routine of being a professional athlete. There's a lot of great things that come with it, but the transition out of it, all of a sudden, it just stops. And you're sitting around. You know, for me, when I retired, I was 30. And all of a sudden, you're trying to get into the workforce at 30. You know, right. It just doesn't make any sense. The best thing I did, and, you know, I thank my wife for it. She convinced me, you know, to go back to school because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went back to school at DePaul to get my master's, and I thought it was great for me because it was eye-opening. You go to school with you know, a bunch of people that are concerned about literature and politics all of a sudden, and in the English department, and they don't talk about football. So for me, it was kind of eye-opening to see a different side, and it helped me to move away from football a little bit.
Hey, Matt, we all know that the NBA, NFL, all the leagues have orientation programs to get you into the league and transition, and here's – people going to want your money, and here you have to make sure you have the sound financial people on that. Do they have anything exiting the league, or is it just, you know, chew them up, spit them out, and good luck to you?
Well, they're trying to. At the end of my career, they're trying to. They tried to develop post-career plans. Like for me, going back to school, that was free. I mean, the NFL paid for it. They're trying to do, when I got out, they came up with this idea, and I think it's a great idea. If you want to go back to school, they'll give you 3 years free education.
Wow.
If you're a vested veteran. And I think more guys should take advantage of it because for the same reasons that I just told you about, it opens your eyes to something new. It takes your mind off football. You get into something. Yes, it's not. Nothing's going to replace the competitive nature. That's the biggest thing. And that's something the NFL will never be able to give the players once they leave. But the more they can do, you know, outside that back door to help guys, and maybe just hold their hand a little bit when they get out of it. And it sounds childish because you're talking about grown men here, but I'm telling you, you're that structured and you almost become robotic as a player with that routine, and when all of a sudden it just stops, it's hard. It's very hard because you sit around. I tell you what, when I got done, I wrote a column once a week for the Chicago Sun-Times, okay, and one for the Washington Examiner. That's all I had to do, okay? I mean, think about that. In 7 days, I had to write two columns, all right? There was nothing else. Now, my wife and I just had a baby, thank God, because I could play with my newborn son. But if we didn't have our baby, you know, what do you do? You know, you're not ready to take interviews. You don't know what you want to do as a professional yet. All these ideas come to your mind. Maybe I should get into coaching. You know, maybe I should start teaching. You know, what if I want to get into sales? You don't even know who to call because you're not right out of college. You're not going to job fairs. You're just stuck in this transition period that's very hard. I don't expect, you know, listeners out there to feel sorry for football players here, but it is there is a lot of truth to this, that a lot of guys do go into depression when they get done because they're just kind of stuck in that gray area when they don't know what direction they want to go next.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point. I think there's a lot of construction workers. There's a lot of people that would say, hey, I'd do anything to have that time in the NFL. But the fact of the matter is that if you make it in the league, that means that you're at the top of the mountain. You have been wildly successful. And then you come out of the league and you've got to find a way to transition into something else. And, you know, I saw a shocking statistic about how many players go broke after their career. I mean, it was on, I think it was an ESPN.com story that went through all the different major sports, and the number, the percentages are unbelievable, because I think a lot of it is, oh, well, I'll own a restaurant now. Well, you know, maybe I'll make some music. I'll get into, and you know, you need to know what you're doing to do that stuff. And there are obviously a lot of people that that want to take advantage of people. And, you know, I'm watching the NFL Network with the minute I heard the Seau stuff, and you know, there's our guy Warren Sapp on there, and Sapp played forever, and he recently went bankrupt. I mean, again, it's $6.5 million or whatever. He still has a lot of assets, but man, it's difficult as you look at players and how they transition into something else. And you know, getting into coaching is obviously something, but it's a lot different. And you know, these issues exist for people in a lot of different walks of life. And we have a texter saying, what about the military? It's the same type of thing where you're seeing things and doing things, and you've got to come back and figure out how to get back into a life. And, you know, again, a guy like Junior Seau, that's a Hall of Famer. He is a guy that is just absolutely, you know, one of the great players in league history. 20 years, he came out of retirement twice to go back and play. You know, it's so difficult to give that up and to feel, you know, just that, you know, isolation of not being connected to the game. And, you know, you talk about it, you know, he had been divorced. He was not living with his kids. You know, it's easier maybe if you have that family around you. Now, his family was around him, but, you know, I don't know. It just saddened me greatly to hear that story.
No, me too. You know, you bring up an interesting point about what you do while you are playing football. And a trainer told me this once, and I've always remembered it. And we were just talking, you know, just inside the training room. He said, look, our job, he goes, everyone in this building, including myself, our job is to make sure you focus on football. That's it. We take care of everything else. And what that means is, and they baby you a little bit, okay? They baby you sometimes too much in the NFL. You know, you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the dentist in the NFL. You don't wait in line and take in the back door. Yeah. Everything is done first class. And then when you get out and you get your first medical bill, okay? I didn't pay a medical bill until I was 31 years old.
Wow.
Okay? I just didn't. Because everything, they do all that stuff for you. And that's part of the, you know, the tough part of the transition as well. And the other part of, you know, this tragic story is, again, I don't want to speculate, but you hope it's not like Dave Duerson, okay? Because my mom called me last night, and that's the first thing she brought up. And when my mom is on the phone, she gets real quiet. I know she's upset. And she was worried sick, guys, because she knows I have had concussions in my career. And, you know, my wife said the same thing. Well, that's not going to happen to you. You know, you have your support staff. I don't know that. I mean, I'm only 35. I don't know. I mean, is that a path that a lot of players are on when they get older? And from having these head injuries, that depression plays a part in that as well.
That's very scary stuff. Matt Bowen joining us. Matt, we'll let you go. Just on the way out, we didn't get into the New Orleans stuff. Jonathan Vilma, you know, the arguments are this. One argument is that Vilma, you know, was obviously a guy that was listening to his coaches, and that he may have been enthusiastic and he may have put some money up, but he was basically doing what he was told to do, and that's how you stay in the league, and that's how you have success, and that's how you buy into a program. And then the other argument is, well, you know, if he's upset about losing a year, what about the guys he was trying to hurt? He was going out there trying to get people out for a year. You know, I don't know where you stand on it.
I think he was in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
After what happened to Coach Payton and Coach Williams' is indefinite suspension, the players were next. I expected Roger Goodell to come down hard. We have to understand this is his league, and he's, again, setting the example. It's unfortunate that Jonathan Vilmason missed an entire season and an entire season of paychecks, but he was involved in it. He did get caught. And what the commissioner is doing here is telling, if you're a player out there and you do this, I'm going to hammer you. So this is the example being set. And, you know, Jonathan Vilma, he can try to appeal it, but it goes right back to the commissioner. That's not going to work. So, yeah, I mean, this is Roger Goodell proving once again that it's his league. And if you're I understand active players supporting him because that's what active players do. They support each other. That's why they join the union. That's why they pay their union dues. But Jonathan Vilma was going to get suspended. I think everyone should understand that.
All right, Matt, thanks a ton.
Thanks,
we really appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thank you.